that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on your breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've put on the armor. Father, I've got your word in my hand and in my heart. Lord, I know there's an enemy out there on this battlefield. And he wants to take not just my life. Father, he wants to take your joy. He wants to rob me of your salvation. Father, he wants to deceive me. He wants to discourage me. He wants to destroy me. Father, help me in this battle today. Lord, where I'm fearful, where I'm anxious, I know that, Father, I'm not promised that I can walk off this battlefield physically alive. But I know, Father, that in you, there is life beyond this battlefield. Father, give me boldness to speak your word on this battlefield today. As the enemy attacks, Father, and the arrows fly, may your work of righteousness protect me. Father, as the enemy comes and he tries to attack me close in, Father, the faith that you've instilled in my life, may it be a protector. And God, may the other soldiers on this field, may they see your strength and may they see your power moving in me. For your glory, Father, not mine. It's in Jesus' name we pray. So I was standing out in the, the foyer, and Kirsten Gallardo comes out and doesn't recognize me. Dad, there's a cop all by himself standing in the foyer. Janice Jones comes out and thinks I'm ISIS. She asked me, are you ISIS? I said, no. She goes, who are you? Somebody had to point out that I was her pastor. You know, I thought about hard about coming in here dressed like this. Don't want to be a distraction from God's word, but it really hit me. How many of us are truly, truly ready for battle? I mean, we come into this place today and we say we're born-again, blood-bought believers. We use the term Christian and followers of Christ. And yet when someone does come in and they're dressed different, it is amazing how it shocks people. Now, I know this is a Jasper County Sheriff's vest, and I know it is a Jasper County Sheriff's helmet and knee pads and gas mask and all the other parts. It's not what we would typically understand as the armor of God. But isn't it amazing when someone comes in dressed for battle how the majority of the church goes, huh? I would like to say that everything on here is cinched up tight, but I'm worried that my knee pads are going to become ankle pads. I'm worried that if I lean too far forward, I will be on the ground. But I had help putting this on, someone that puts it on every day when he goes out into battle. And one of the things that he told me was, you know what, there's no option. Every time we go out, we put on the helmet, we put on the vest, we put on the pads. There's even more to this uniform than what I have on today. He says there is no option. And do we realize, Christians, that as we've been looking at the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, that every one of us in this room that names the name of Christ, there is no option. We are on a battlefield. We are in a battle. for the souls of men. We are in a battle sometimes for our very mind because the enemy is trying to deceive us there. We are in a battle for our very hearts because the enemy is trying to deceive us there. And Paul gives all of this armor, but then in verse 18, he gives this command. I would invite you to open your Bibles there and find the command. It is in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6. The command is two words: pray always. It might not seem as a command written in your book, in your Bible on your page, but in the Greek, it is a command. It is as if Paul says, I've given you all the armor, I've told you where it is, what it's to be used for, I've commanded you to put it on and to wear it continuously, and now I'm telling you that unless you are always praying, you're going to have a problem. There are three Greek terms that apply in two English words here. Literally, Paul says we are to be praying at all times. But he also says, at the same time when he says always, we are to be praying in every circumstance. And then he also says, when he says pray always, not only are we supposed to be continually praying at all times and in praying in every circumstance, we are to be praying in all things and before all things. Before we start something, while we're doing it, we're to be in prayer. No matter what the situation is, no matter the circumstance of our life, we need to understand that if we are continuously suited for battle, then we are in battle. And if we are not praying, then we are going to be discouraged. We are going to be distracted. We might even be destroyed. So when Paul says, put on the whole armor, then he gives this command, pray. Be in constant communication with the Lord your God. I read that this week and I asked myself, why does Paul give the command to pray? I thought about what Mr. Eppert told me when I put this stuff. He says, when you put this on, it's a guarantee that we're going to get out before noon. It's a guarantee. He says, when you put on, and this vest is empty. It doesn't have all the, it just has the plating. It doesn't have all the cool weapons. I do have one weapon. I found it. I went peeking. I won't tell you what else is in here. It's secret. But the idea, Paul says, listen, you can put on the whole armor of God, but there's a problem. You can stand ready for battle, but if you are not in communication with God, you're going to miss out on the battle plan. You see, what I found out in 17, 18, well, it's 15 years of ministry and about 18 years of following Christ as a born-again, blood-bought believer, I have found out that God's plan is the absolute best plan for my life. I really believe that. Jeremiah 29:11 tells me that, that God's got the best plan for my life. But what I found out is that God unfolds his plan and his will by his will and during his time. I found out that there are times in my life that I could be battle ready and I could be standing here for quite some time as God slowly unfolds his plan for victory in my life. If I get ahead of God, then I'm out in front of all of my support staff. I'm out in front of all of my protection. I could be fully armored, but if I'm not listening carefully to God, I cannot obey God fully. So that's why Paul says you got to be at all times in prayer. You got to be listening. Mr. Eppert was showing me the comms unit and everything in here and tell me how they can have earbuds or they can have a little bone mic that actually sat on this bone and they could hear through that. Why do they need to be in constant communication with a commander? Because they don't know what's on the other side of a house that they're storming. They don't know the enemy that's in the woods that is lurking. If they go about it on their own, they're not just going to cause damage to themselves, but they're going to cause damage to the other men in line. If I'm not listening carefully to God, I cannot obey fully what God has for me. If I don't obey fully what God has for me, I'm going to jack up his plan, which could cost me my life, which could cost me the lives of those other men and women around me. So Paul says, listen, church, not only do you have to fully gear up, not only do you have to put on the full armor of God, but you have to now listen carefully and obey fully God. Prayer is a two-way conversation. I know most of us in this room, we pray. We typically pray to God when we're in trouble. I know what I do when I'm going 55 and a 25. I know I've broken the law, but I see an officer of the law and I pray, oh Lord, please don't let him have his radar on. When I was in school, we never had the problem of you can't pray in school. We prayed in school every time there was a science test or a math test or an English test. We prayed all the time. Lord, I didn't study. I'm going to need some help here. We prayed all the time. Please don't let the teacher catch me whatevering. We prayed all the time. Lord, please, I like her. I think she's hot. Would you still like her like me? We think prayer is a one-way street, but Paul says, listen, you are having a two-way conversation with God. Now, here's what I've learned in my own life. If I'm having a two-way conversation with God, I can't hear the devil. If my attention and my focus is on God, I'm not going to be looking at the devil. I won't be distracted by the lies of this world. I won't be distracted by the lust of the flesh if I am focusing on God. If my eyes are on the Lord, then I won't be sidetracked by the shiny things of this world. If my eyes are on God, I won't be sidetracked by the lust and the desires of my heart. I know as Christians in this room, we want to honor God with our lives. We want to honor God with our service. We want to be bright lights in a dark world. The problem is most of us won't focus on God long enough to not be distracted by the craziness of this world. That's why Paul says, in all things, at all times, in every circumstance, and before all things, you need to be praying to God. If my ears are listening to God, do you know what I don't hear? I don't hear the noise of the enemy. I don't hear that at all. If my ears are listening to God, I don't hear the lies that this world wants to use to deceive me. I don't know how many of you are on our prayer chain, but if you're on the FBCO prayer chain, this morning you should have received a prayer chain from Psalm 8. Kevin sends those out every day now, isn't it not, Mr. Kevin? It's every day. So I'm sitting and where I sit to read the Bible on Sunday mornings all the times, and I go, oh, an email. And boom, I look it up and it's Psalm 8. I start to reading. In verse 2, I stop. In verse 2, it tells me very quickly, and it even promises me that the praise of God will outweigh the noise of the enemy. That when I begin to listen to God, when I begin to speak to God, I will not hear the enemy. I will not be distracted by the enemy. This is why it's so important that when we are battle ready, we have a commander that we are in communication with. Because there is an enemy that is really out there. Why would I have a helmet on if I didn't think the enemy was going to attack my head? Why would I have these heavy plates in here if I didn't think the enemy was going to try and attack here? I'm amazed that we as Christians walk around armorless while at the same time we say we know there's an enemy out there who wants to destroy us. I would not expect the sheriff's deputy to walk into or walk up to a house where he knows there's an enemy in there that wants to shoot at him. I would not expect him to walk up to that house without armor on. That would be foolish. And yet so many of us walk up fully armored in the Christian world, but we have forgotten to pray. We have forgotten that while we are battling the enemy knows, okay, I'm going to come at Butch with an arrow. Oh, Butch has his breastplate on. Oh, Butch has his shield up. Oh, but look, Butch forgot his helmet. I'm going to start whispering in Butchie's ear. You see, if Butchie was listening to the Lord, no matter what the enemy whispered, Butchie wouldn't hear it. If Butchie's eyes were on the Lord, no matter what the enemy put in front of him, Butchie wouldn't see it. Why? Because when we are in constant communication with the Lord, we cannot be distracted or discouraged by the enemy. So my question for you, my brothers and sisters, are you distracted? Are you discouraged? The easy answer to that is put your eyes and your ears back on the Lord. Begin to pray. Begin to look towards God. Prayer gives us the power and the might and the strength for battle. Prayer gives us the power and the might and the strength. Jesus in Luke chapter 5 verse 16 tells us that in the midst of great ministry trials, he would withdraw alone to be with his Father in prayer. In the midst of great ministry, when Jesus is out there and he's feeding the hungry and he's healing the sick and he's raising the dead, Jesus would get tired. He would become physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired. So what did he do? He got alone to be with his Father. How many of us take the time to get alone to be with our Father in heaven? How many of us shut the world out and just sit there and meditate with God? How much time do you spend alone with your Father? I'll tell you that as much time as you spend alone with your Father is probably directly related to as much time as you spend in ministry. So if you don't spend a lot of time by yourself with your Father in heaven, getting rejuvenated, getting renewed, getting your strength back, receiving power, receiving a word from Him, all those things, then the chances are you're probably not really being emptied in ministry. And maybe you're not being involved in ministry, even though you want to be involved in ministry, and you say, Lord, I want to be used. The Lord's not using you. Why? Because you're not spending time alone with Him, getting power, might, and strength. If Jesus did it, why should we be any different? Jesus, think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's there and he's asking the disciples to pray and he's agonizing over all these things. And he goes back and finds his disciples doing what? Taking a nap. They had an opportunity to follow his example and to pray. I mean, Jesus is there and he's going, Father, I know what is about to take place. I know what's going to happen. Daddy, if there's any other way, but yet not my will. Where did Jesus find the strength to say, not my will, but your will be done? Where did Jesus find the strength to look at the opportunity before him as a blessing, as joy? Where did Jesus find that strength? Through prayer, through constant conversation with his Father in heaven. Think of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. We know it as the Lord's Prayer. If you've been around here, you hear me talk about it as the disciples' prayer. Jesus said, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Oh, and Father, give us, God, may you be the glory. May your glory come. May you be honored above all things. Can you just start to think about that prayer for a minute? Close your eyes. Whisper it in our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, Father, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Come on, you can't say that prayer knowing what it means without getting jazzed up at the end. Thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Don't leave me. Don't let me go into that, Father. Don't let me go into a battle without your power, your glory, forever and ever. Amen. We start looking at Jesus. We start speaking like Jesus. We start walking like Jesus. And I promise you, no matter the weight of the 20-some-odd pound vest on your head and the oversized helmet on your thing and the falling down knee, I promise you, no matter the burdens in this life, no matter the struggles that it takes of walking with the Lord, when you start taking God at His word, there is great power in your life. There is great might in your life. There is great strength in your life. No matter what burden is on your back, you know you can endure by His might. Amen? Prayer. Think about it. The single greatest force ever released on earth. Think about it. There's nuclear bombs that have been released. There's all kinds of crazy man-made weapons, but the one God gave weapon that He has given us, hey, there's no more powerful weapon than prayer. And yet it's the one we use the least. The world, listen, I know that right now the world is doing everything it can to close our churches. There's people out there right now. I mean, I think it's very interesting that one of the young people walked out and said, there's a policeman standing all by himself out in our foyer. I think it's very interesting that they were aware enough to know, it's not odd. It's different. It's almost expected. And then she sends her daddy out. Daddy, there's something weird going on, but, you know, it's a church. I mean, you think the world right now, Janice said, are you ISIS? Isn't that weird that she didn't think it really that abnormal to find ISIS standing in her church? Think about it. The world wants to close the doors of the church today. The world wants to take away the word of God today. The world wants to take away prayer today. They can take away our Bibles. They can close our church doors. But you know the one thing they can never keep us from doing? Is pray. The only one that keeps us from praying is ourselves. The only one that keeps the most powerful weapon God has ever put in the hand of man from happening is you and I. I love the fact that Paul says pray. I found a couple different scriptures in the Bible, but think about this. Prayer brings us into the very presence of God Himself. Think about this. The Bible, we get to enter into the throne room of God. We get to present our requests at the feet of God. So when we begin to pray, we are entering into the presence of God. Now, there are multiple names for God in the Scriptures. Two of my favorite, number one is Jehovah Jireh. So when I pray, if I'm entering into the very presence of God, then I am entering into the very presence of Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord my provider. Now think about that. I have lots of needs in this world. I have lots of physical needs, lots of spiritual needs. I have lots of psychological needs. To think that I'm going to wear this thing the entire time I preach is nuts. To think that I'm going to be able to stand up the rest of the day is nuts. I have a lot of needs. So when I begin to pray, I'm entering into the very presence of the one who says, I will provide for your every need. Jehovah Jireh. What is it that you need this morning? Not what you want, but what you desperately, truly need this morning. You say, I don't know what my greatest need is. The truth of the matter is you get to cry out to God and say, God, I don't even know what need I have today, but I know you have provided for it. So Lord, let me see the provision. Lord, let me know the provision. Lord, let me experience your provision for the need you see is greatest in my life. When we enter the very presence of God, we enter the very presence of Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord my protector. Now think about this when it comes to the field of battle and the armor that we have to put on. Every piece of that armor comes from God. I have no righteousness of my own. I cannot put on the breastplate of my own righteousness. I must put on the breastplate of His righteousness. I have no salvation of my own. I must put on the helmet of salvation. I have no truth of my own. I must tighten God's word around my waist. I have no good news of my own. I must only go with the good news of the gospel on my feet. I have no faith of my own. I must use the faith that God puts in me. I have no sword of my own. I must use God's word. Everything about this armor comes from Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord my protector. The Bible says if God is for me, who can stand against me? When I put on this armor, I am putting on Jehovah Jireh. I am putting on Jehovah Shalom, my peace. I'm putting on Jehovah Sitkenu, my banner. I'm putting on Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord, my protector. I'm putting on God. And so when I stand in the presence of my enemies, the enemy doesn't see me. The enemy sees my God. And the Bible says the enemy trembles. Not at me, because I look kind of foolish with this stuff on. The enemy sees God. Let me be honest with you. I don't know what time it is, but I'm hoping it's getting close to noon. Not only is this stuff heavy, Mr. Heppard, this stuff is hot. I'll be honest with you, there are times when I'm back there and he's putting this stuff on and the knee pads are sliding down and the gas mask is pulling my pants down and all these things. I'm going, I can see where it could be like, you know, I don't think I'm going to need these. Do I really need to put this on? It would just seem easier if I could go out there and maybe we just put a dummy up here. I mean, you say there probably already is one up here, but, you know, a dead dummy, not a real live dummy, and just display the armor, just display the tools. I think it'd be easier if we just did that. There are times in my life when if I just set this over here, there are times when I'll just take off this silly helmet over here. I don't really need to be wearing this thing. I don't think there's going to be a need for it. You see, when I do that, it's because I'm not listening carefully to my provider and my protector. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, put on all of it. There is never a command in God's word for the born-again, blood-bought believer to take it off. Do you realize that? Once we become a born-again, blood-bought believer and receive the instruction of the armor to put on, there is never the instruction to take it off. If I'm going to take it off, I might as well just surrender to the enemy right now. Yes, it's heavy. Yes, it's cumbersome. I think it's that way for my protection. The enemy has great weaponry. You realize that? You see, I don't think the church today understands that there are places in our lives, our hearts, and our minds where we're being attacked. We don't even recognize it. We're being attacked, and we don't even know it. If it was me, and I was heading into a house where I knew there was an enemy barricaded in that house, and he had a gun pointed at me, do you realize that there are some places in my body I want to be protected that aren't? We were reading in 1 Kings yesterday, or last week. There was a king named Ahab. He was out in the battlefield. He had his full armor on. Do you realize the one shot that killed King Ahab was a one in a million shot, and it found its little tiny entrance into his body that killed him in the one little place he wasn't protected? Look at me. There's a lot of places not protected. If I can recognize that, so can the enemy. I want the best weaponry and I want the best armor that money or faith can bring into my life. I don't want to settle for second best. I don't want to find a place where the enemy can get at me. Do we understand that the battle is fierce? I mean, most of you are going to leave here today and you're going to take pictures. I've already seen them. They're probably going to be on Facebook. My daughter was upset that she was going to be in children's church. Daddy, I want to see it'll be on Facebook, I'm sure. Give plenty of other people more information and more ammunition to say, look at that place. Even their pastor's a freak. But I'm convinced that most of us will leave here today and we'll have a good chuckle and we'll have a good memory maybe in our minds and we'll go, well, that was really nice. But the idea is you and I will leave here without the realization that the battle is for real and the battle is fierce and the battle is for your end. The enemy is set. He doesn't have a dial for moderate destruction. He has a dial set for total destruction. And he does not quit until you are destroyed. And the only one that can defeat the enemy is God himself. He won't quit coming at you just because you showed up to church on Sunday. He won't quit coming at you just because you opened your Bible for the first time in months. He won't quit coming at you just because you prayed. No, a matter of fact, all those things will make him come at you even harder. He will not quit coming at you because you decided, I'm going to be a better husband, I'm going to be a better wife, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to just be better. No, he won't quit until you are wiped off the face of the earth. He won't quit until the power of God is finished in you. He won't quit until he can ruin your testimony. He will do everything he can to totally destroy you. That's the fierceness of the battle. And if you aren't being protected, then he will get you. He won't quit coming, so we can't stop being protected. Truth is, there's a lot of church folk in this world that are suffering. They're suffering wounds from an enemy attack. And they're suffering when they really shouldn't be. There are some born-again, blood-bought believers in this very room who are suffering anxiety and fear simply because they've allowed their mind to be deceived by a lie from the enemy. The Bible says we got to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because any thought can be used by the enemy to deceive you. Some in this room are suffering from a sorrow-filled heart simply because they have bought into the lie of this world. We're supposed to test everything this world offers against God's word. There are people who have been deceived by a false religion. People have been deceived by a false sense of love, a false sense of security, because someone with a good heart or someone with an evil heart has come and told them what they think God's word says. There's people in this room today who don't think they deserve God's love because they're rotten, cruddy sinners. Any rotten, cruddy sinners in the room? Okay, the rest of you just lied. But the Bible says that while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you. God loves you even though you're a sinner. Some people, even in this room, are suffering from wounds that are causing disease and decay. Because why? Because they're not following God's plan. You've been bombarded by the enemy. You might even have made a choice to follow down a path that you knew was wrong, and you got stabbed right here in the side. And now that sore is oozing pus, and it's getting gangrene, and it's starting to smell, and it's causing other things in your life. And you are not following God's plan to be cleansed, to be cured, to be made whole. You're ignoring God's call on your life. You're ignoring God's pursuit of you. Someone asked me, "Pastor, why are you dressed like that today?" I want to make a point. I want to make a point that all of us need to understand that if we are not dressed for battle, then we will not be in the battle. We'll be dead. "Oh, Pastor, look, I come to church every Sunday. I'm doing all these." Listen, you can be an extremely active dead person. You've heard the old story where the paramedics were called to the church. 911 was called. They show up. They walk into the sanctuary. Where's the dead person? Which one's the dead person? Because they're all Baptists. They're all sitting up. They're all listening to the sermon. They're all singing the songs. They're all giving money in the offering plate. They're all putting the shoebox together. But nobody can differentiate the true living from the dead. The Bible tells us that you and I can feast and find life and find strength and find peace and find victory and find grace and find mercy in every word that comes from God's mouth. Are we listening for God to speak into our life today? Or are we just walking around fully armored, getting tired of walking around, getting tired of having it on us, wondering when it's going to be over, when can I get on with the rest of my life? Listen, the rest of your life is to be lived in eternity with your Father in heaven. King David, in Psalm 55, he said, "God, I ask for your help. Lord, I know you will keep me safe. Morning, noon, and night, you hear my concerns. You even listen to my complaints. I'm attacked from all sides, but I know you will rescue me, unharmed by the battle. You have always ruled, and you will hear me. You will defeat my enemies, because they won't turn and worship you." David understood. David knew that there was a God, the Lord of all creation, who wanted him. David knew that no matter the battle in his life, he could always turn to the Lord. No matter how heavy the fight was, no matter how cumbersome this stuff is, he knew he could turn to the Lord. And he said, "God, you will always rescue me unharmed from the battle." Church, I want you to know we've spent the last several weeks going over and over and over the armor. I need you to know that the battle is at hand. I need you to know that the troubles you're facing today, the fears you're facing today, the anxieties you're facing today, they'll be used by the enemy. He wants to discourage you. He wants to distract you from the goodness that God is offering. The devil knows that if you run into the arms of the Lord, that you will find relief and rescue. The devil knows that if you begin to listen to God and you begin to look to Him, you will find life that you never thought possible. You will find might and strength and joy that you never thought imaginable. The devil knows that. So he's going to do everything in his power to keep you from what God is offering you. Will you put on the whole armor of God? Have you put on the whole armor of God? Will you stand as the enemy attacks? Will you be standing in the midst of his attacks? Paul says it. Only if the whole armor is on, and only if you're in constant communication with Him, will you find that no matter the attack of the enemy, you'll have victory. No matter the deceit of the enemy, you'll know truth. No matter the distraction of the enemy, you'll stay focused. How does Paul say it happens? Praying. At all times, in all things, before all things, and through all things. As Kevin comes and leads us in an invitation, I really wonder how many of us will walk out of here today understanding that you're on a battlefield. Understanding that the enemy has been this entire time trying to distract you. The enemy has been trying to put different thoughts in your head today. The enemy has been trying to distract you with concerns of this world. He uses the people in your life, the struggles in your life. I wonder how many of you understand that the battlefield that you're on, the enemy can also attack you physically. It can attack your body. It can cause you to be disrupted in your health. I wonder how many of you understand that right now, the enemy is battling the born-again, blood-bought believers in here to try and rob them of joy, of knowing Christ. But the enemy is also battling to keep the souls of the men and women and children that he already has. You see, if you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord, if you've never surrendered your life to Him, trusting Him as Savior, then the Bible says quite clearly that you're not in Christ. The Bible says quite clearly that you're lost, as in you're bound to pay the penalty of your own sin. You're going to hell. You can put on all this armor. You can come up and say, hey, pastor, I'm looking for a helmet. I'm looking for a shield. I'm looking for a sword. I want to put all this stuff on. But if you put all this stuff on and you're not found in Christ, it's just a heavy burden. And the enemy will do everything he can to keep you as his possession. You might not be battling drugs or alcohol. You might be having a great life going through this world skating through free. Don't doubt for a minute that the enemy who runs this world is going to keep that going for you. He doesn't want you to realize that a great life here on this earth can actually lead to a cruddy life in eternity. If we're living for today, we're forgetting about tomorrow. We forget about tomorrow. Our tomorrow may be forever in hell. I pray that today, as you look at this get up, that you ask yourself a very simple question. Am I willing to go out on the battlefield? The battlefield of my life tomorrow, the battlefield at work, the battlefield at my family, wherever, am I willing to go out there looking totally different than everybody else? Because you know, a fully armored Christian looks totally different than anybody else in this world. Would you stand with me and pray? Some of you are going to face battles that you have no idea are coming tomorrow. You might even face them as you leave the church today. Are you ready to face those battles? Fully armored? Are you looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the completer of your salvation? Are you going to trust your own wisdom and your own knowledge? Are you going to look to Him to lead you and guide you? Father God, Lord, You haven't put us on a battlefield alone. You put us on a battlefield, Father, with the opportunity to be filled by Your Spirit, to be led by Your Word, to be joined by brothers and sisters, to fight for the souls of man. You don't put us here, Father, by ourselves without full weaponry. You give us the totality of Your Word, and You promise that, Father, at just the right time, Your Spirit will speak through us the utterance that will defeat the enemy. Father God, may we be a people who are prepared for battle, having put on the full armor of God. May we be a people that are prepared to stand against the tricks of the enemy. Father, may our minds be held captive by everything that is Jesus Christ. Father, may our bellies be full of every word that is spoken into our lives by Your mouth. Father God, if there's one in this room who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God, don't let him leave here. Don't let him leave here, Father, without knowing the truth. And Father God, I pray that if they leave here knowing the truth, but not accepting it and receiving it into their lives for life, Father God, don't give up on them. God, draw them by Your Spirit into Your presence even more as they leave this place, that they can't walk off the parking lot, they can't get in their car. Father God, do everything to get their attention. And may we, Father, Your children who call on Your name, Father, may we put on the full armor of God. May our lives be tightened by Your truth. May our chests, Father, may they literally be guarded by Your work of righteousness. Father, may our heads be covered in the joy of Your salvation. Father, may our hands be ready with the Word of God to work into the lives of people all around us. Father, wherever we go, may the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, be spread. Oh, Father, may we walk by faith so that everything the enemy throws our way is quenched. We are not detoured, we are not distracted, we are not discouraged, but Father, we are filled with Your joy as we go forth sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. God, have Your way in this place right now, in these people, for Your glory and Your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray.